ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 29, entitled Explanation of Devotional Service, Text Number 17. Mahatam bahumanena
Mahatam bahumanena
Dinanam anukampaya
Dinanam anukampaya
Maitriya chaiva atmatulyeshu
Maitriya chaiva atmatulyeshu
Yamena niyamena
cha
Mahatam bahumanena
Mahatam bahumanena
Dinanam anukampaya
Dinanam anukampaya
Maitriya chaiva atmatulyeshu
Maitriya chaiva atmatulyeshu
Yamena niyamena
cha
Mahatam bahumanena
Mahatam bahumanena
Dinanam anukampaya
Dinanam anukampaya
Maitriya chaiva atmatulyeshu
Maitriya chaiva atmatulyeshu
Yamena niyamena
cha
Word to word translation, Mahatam,
Mahatam,
to the great souls,
to the great souls,
Bahumanena,
Bahumanena,
with great respect,
with great respect,
Dinanam,
Dinanam,
to the poor,
to poor,
Anukampaya,
Anukampaya,
with compassion,
compassion,
Maitriya,
Maitriya,
with friendship,
friendship,
Cha,
Cha,
also,
also,
Eva,
Eva,
certainly,
certainly,
Atmatulyeshu,
Atmatulyeshu,
to persons who are equals,
persons who are equals,
Yamena,
Yamena,
with control of the senses,
control of the senses,
Niyamena,
Niyamena,
with regulation,
regulation,
Cha,
Cha,
and translation, the pure devotee should execute devotional service by giving the greatest respect to the spiritual master and the acharyas. He should be compassionate to the poor and make friendship with persons who are his equals. But all his activities should be executed under regulation and with control of the senses. Translation responsively, please. The pure devotee should execute by giving the greatest respect. Oh, sorry. Devotional service by giving the greatest respect, to the spiritual master and the acharyas.
He should be compassionate
to the poor,
and make friendship with
persons who are his equals.
But all his activities
should be executed
under regulation and with control of the senses.
Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. In Bhagavad Gita 13th chapter, it is clearly stated that one should execute devotional service and advance on the path of spiritual knowledge by accepting the acharya. Acharya upasanam. One should worship an acharya, a spiritual master who knows things as they are. The spiritual master must be in the disciplic succession from Krishna. The predecessor of the spiritual master are his spiritual master, his grand spiritual master, his great grand spiritual master, and so on, who from the disciplic succession of acharyas. Who form the disciplic succession of acharyas. It is recommended herewith that all the acharyas be given the highest respect. It is stated, Gurushu Naramatihi. Gurushu means unto the acharyas. And Naramatihi means thinking like a common man. To think of the Vaishnavas, the devotees, as belonging to a particular caste or community
or think of the acharyas as ordinary men, or to think of the deity in the temple as being made of stone, wood or metal is condemned. Niyamena, one should offer the greatest respect to the acharyas according to the standard regulations. A devotee should also be compassionate to the poor. This does not refer to those who are poverty-stricken materially. According to devotional vision, a man is poor if he is not in Krishna consciousness. A man may be very rich materially, but if he is not Krishna conscious, he is considered poor. On the other hand, many acharyas such as Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami used to live beneath trees every night. Superficially, it appeared that they were poverty stricken. But from their writings, we can understand that in spiritual life, they were the richest personalities. A devotee shows compassion to those poor souls who are wanting in spiritual knowledge by enlightening them in order to elevate them to Krishna consciousness. This is one of the duties of a devotee. He should also make friendship with persons who are on an equal level with himself or who have the same understanding that he does. For a devotee, there is no point in making friendship with ordinary persons. He should make friendship with other devotees so that by discussing among themselves, they may elevate one another on the path of spiritual understanding. This is called Ishta Goshti. In Bhagavad Gita, there is reference to Bodhyanta Parasparam, discussing among themselves. Generally, pure devotees utilize their valuable time in chanting and discussing various activities of Lord Krishna or Lord Chaitanya amongst themselves. There are innumerable books such as the Puranas, Mahabharata, Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita and Upanishads, which contains countless subjects for discussion among two devotees or more. Friendship should be cemented between persons with mutual interest and understanding. Such persons are said to be swajati, of the same caste. The devotee should avoid a person whose character is not fixed in the standard understanding, even though he may be a Vaishnava or a devotee of Krishna. If his character is not correctly representative, then he should be avoided. One should steadily control the senses and the mind and strictly follow the rules and regulations, and he should make friendship with persons of the same standard. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Nilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Patagamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanjana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchagalpa Tarupyacha Kriba Sindhubhya Evacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Bhutair Mahadbhir Yaima Puro Vibhu Nirmaya Shete Yadamusha Purusha Bhunte Gunan Shodasha Shodashatmaka Solan Krishishta Bhagavan Vacham Sime Hare Krishna. We are in the teachings of Lord Kapiladev. And here, the activities of a pure devotee or activities of an aspiring devotee is very nicely discussed. So here, Srila Prabhupada is starting the purport with reference to the 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. 13th chapter is very interesting because it is showing the process of knowledge. It is showing jnanam, gayam, showing the knowledge and the object of knowledge after 10th verse. So here, Prabhupada is directly referring to the items of knowledge from the 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So there are about 20 items of knowledge. Interestingly, when Srila Prabhupada presents knowledge or the items of knowledge, Prabhupada is giving the process of attaining the knowledge. So that's what Krishna does rather. Krishna is presenting the process that can lead to knowledge or understanding. So we have the verse starting from Amanitam, Adambitam, Ahimsa, Akshantirarjavam, Acharyopasanam, Shaucham, Sthairyam, Atma Vinigraha. So here, starting from what is the first item of knowledge? Interestingly, knowledge. Krishna is telling knowledge, but Krishna is not directly giving the knowledge, which is given in the object of knowledge, Gayam. Whereas in these verses, the 20 items which are given, that will lead to knowledge. And what is the first one? First one is humility, amanitam. Then lack of pride. Then non-violence. And in the same verse it is mentioned, which is that acharyopasanam. Acharyopasanam means accepting or taking shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. And further, different items of knowledge Krishna presents. And many of them are not at all the primary process that we follow in our Krishna consciousness. Say for example, there is the last verse in that series is Tattva Jnanartha Darshanam, meaning seeing the absolute truth and searching for the absolute truth. It is not directly an Anga of Bhakti. Rather, it is an Anga of the process of Jnana. Because they have to analyze, they have to see which is right, which is wrong, and do a philosophical search into the absolute. We do understand philosophy, we study philosophy, but we are not really doing a philosophical search. It's already been given by the acharyas. We do accept and practice and realize. So in the verse, in the 13th chapter, Srila Prabhupada, in the beginning of the purport, mentions a very important point. He mentions, even though there are these 20 items of knowledge or the 20 processes that can lead to knowledge, without maicha ananya yogena bhaktir avyabhijarini, without this, the whole stuff is useless. Maicha ananya yogena bhaktir avyabhijarini. So this is the process. This is the process. What is this? This is ananya bhakti. This is unalloyed devotional service to the Lord. So without bhakti, even though there are 20 items of knowledge, they can stand separate from bhakti. But that will not give fruit to real knowledge. So Krishna is very clear and Srila Prabhupada is clearer because he makes it clear in the beginning of the purport itself. So everything can stand if there is bhakti. So that is the point. So if you think about it, we can see that acharyopasanam, one can accept a spiritual master in other traditions also. A jnani has also a spiritual master in the tradition. But what we are speaking about is a spiritual master who is a Vaishnava, who is a bona fide spiritual master. And Srila Prabhupada gives such a wonderful purport to that verses in the 13th chapter. Now, why do we need a bona fide spiritual master? It is so important, otherwise we don't understand Bhagavad Gita. Forget about Srimad Bhagavatam, forget about scriptures further, but to understand the essence of Bhagavad Gita, we need a spiritual master. Sometimes we may take it for granted. Oh, Bhagavad Gita, What is that? It is in Bhagavad Gita. Just leave it there. But Bhagavad Gita is so important. In such a way that if we start reading different Bhagavad Gitas, they don't give the real knowledge. Some Bhagavad Gitas, the commentary stops at 6th chapter. The Bhagavad Gita stops at 6th chapter. So only first 6 chapters are presented. Some Bhagavad Gitas are giving conclusion as the impersonal Brahman. That is the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. Some Bhagavad Gitas, they want to equate us to the Supreme Lord. So whenever Krishna uses the word aham, say for example, Krishna says, aham sarvasya prabhavo, then these commentators, they say that aham includes I also. It's not just Krishna is telling aham, that aham includes us also. So they want equality. They cannot see injustice. They want equality among everyone. So that aham includes us also. So this is called interpretation. It's not logical, it's not meaningful, but to carry one's own philosophy, as Srila Prabhupada says, they use Bhagavad Gita as the vehicle. Some people want to equate demigods to the Supreme Lord. Everything is starting from the impersonal commentary, which is manifested in different forms, because they don't want to differentiate. They think it's a discrimination. We need equal justice to everyone. A fair go. So equate everyone. Then finally say, we are also that. So in that way, different Bhagavad Gitas are giving different kinds of interpretations. And amidst, when Srila Prabhupada presented Bhagavad Gita as it is, that made devotees. So it is so important. And it's interesting that I was just going through the preface of Bhagavad Gita. Even in the preface of Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada is presenting the essence of everything. I'll just read that part. Instead of satisfying his own personal material senses, he has to satisfy the senses of the Lord. That is the highest perfection of life. The Lord wants this and he demands it. One has to understand the central point of Bhagavad Gita. Our Krishna consciousness movement is teaching the whole world this central point. And because we are not polluting the theme of Bhagavad Gita as it is, anyone seriously interested in deriving benefit by studying the Bhagavad Gita must take help from the Krishna consciousness movement for practical understanding of Bhagavad Gita under the direct guidance of the Lord. Can you see? Srila Prabhupada is making it so clear. The essence, the conclusion, the perfectional stage in devotional service is presented in a few lines towards the end of preface of Bhagavad Gita. So that is Srila Prabhupada. It's not just the preface, then the introduction, and in most of the purports of Bhagavad Gita. So this is such a devotee who can see the essence and who presents the essence is known as Saranga. Such a devotee is known as Saranga. Saranga means Saram Gayati Iti Saranga. One who knows the essence and he presents the essence. We can see that in many spiritual masters in ISKCON. If you ask a question, they may not give an elaborate answer, giving the summary of everything, but they do give the essence that we need. So this is a devotee. He can see what is the essence and he delivers the essence. So Srila Prabhupada is a Saranga devotee. Bhagavatam says, Saranganam Padambujam. Different limbs of the Lord is associated for different kind of people. And the final line is Saranganam Padambujam. A devotee is always focused at the lotus feet of Krishna, meaning he is tuned to the mercy and desire of Krishna. So that is Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada's purport are giving the essence of everything. So now, if you see why, and it's a reality, even many Sampradaya gurus who are Vaishnavas, they take shelter of Bhagavad Gita as it is. Not only Gaudiyas, other Vaishnavas, they actually read Bhagavad Gita as it is. Because they can see this contains the essence. So, why we need a bona fide spiritual master? Because they give the Sambandha Gyan. If we don't have an Acharya, we don't have Sambandha Gyan. Meaning, we don't know who we are, what's our connection to Krishna, what's the process. We actually lack the basic knowledge. And without that, we cannot perform bhakti in a proper fashion. It's not possible at all. So that's why, in the 13th chapter, Prabhupada says, Yes, bhakti avyabhicharini is there. That is the most important element in the items of knowledge. But that has to go along with acharyopasanam, as it is mentioned in this verse. One has to surrender unto an acharya, to a spiritual master. It is very important. And then the spiritual master, we can see Srila Prabhupada, gives us the abhideya, the process that can lead us to Krishna Prem, the prayojana. So when we get the shelter of a spiritual master, then we understand what is the process. Rupa Goswami, in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, in the Nectar Devotion, in the 6th chapter, gives the items of devotional service. What is the first item of devotional service of the 64 items? Can anyone know? What is the first item of devotional service? Huh? Shravanam? No. Exactly. Adho Guru Padashraya. The first item is taking shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. And what is the second item? Accepting the spiritual master, in the sense we are getting initiated by a bona fide spiritual master. The first is Guru Padashraya, that is shelter. And second is Diksha. So this is the beginning. This is the beginning of bhakti. And then it actually furthers to all the 64 angas of bhakti. So it's so essential, and it is given right in the beginning of devotional service. And here in the purport, Prabhupada says, you know, with the Gurushu Naramati, one shouldn't see spiritual master as an ordinary living being, as an ordinary person, a common man. We shouldn't judge a spiritual master in that way, because they may be doing normal activities as anyone else does. But still, we shouldn't think that a spiritual master is just a common man. In the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna instructs Uddhava, the Uddhava Gita. He says, it's a very, very famous verse, Acharyam mam vijaniya. Nava manyeda karhijit. Acharyam mam vijaniya. Understand the spiritual master as my representative, as my own person. Acharyam mam vichaniya. Understand him as my representative. Na avamanyeta karhijit. One should never think enviously of the spiritual master. One shouldn't think him as an ordinary person. This is very interesting. Na martya buddhya syuta. Na martya buddhya syuta. This is the same point as it is given here. One shouldn't think him as a common person. Gurushu naramati. One shouldn't do that. And then Sarvadevak Mayo Guru. He is the representative of all the demigods. So he is giving all the instructions for us to make progress in the devotional life. So one should respect Acharya as much as we respect the Supreme Lord. So such an elevated position is given to the spiritual master. Why? In the Manu Samhita it is mentioned that an acharya, a spiritual master, he takes charge of the disciple. So he takes charge of the disciple. So since he takes charge of the disciple, just like a parent takes charge of the children. Well, no need to explain. They take charge of the children and make sure the kid is growing up. Whatever is necessary for the nourishment is provided by the parents. In the same way, a spiritual master gives whatever is necessary for the nourishment, the spiritual nourishment of the disciples. So it is, Manu Samhita says, one has to give all respects to the spiritual master. Then Prabhupada says in the same, in the purport, in the 11th canto, says, only because of immense compassion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he appears as Acharya. Because there is no way we can directly associate with the Supreme Lord otherwise. Even to associate with the deity form of the Lord, we need the mercy of the Acharya. As it is mentioned in the Isha Upanishad, how we can install a deity without an Acharya? Anyone can make a statue. That's not a problem. Anyway, beautifully one can carve the form of Krishna according to scripture. But that statue becomes deity only by the mercy of a spiritual master, of an acharya, who is qualified, who has the capacity in terms of devotion to invite the Lord into the deity. Then deity become non-different from Krishna. So without an acharya, it's not possible to have the association of Krishna at all. So that's why it is mentioned, one need the compassion of an acharya. And it's ultimately that mercy is coming from Krishna. So, Prabhupada makes it emphatically clear that such an acharya is ashraya vigraha. Ashraya vigraha means one must take shelter of such a spiritual master to make further advancement. Now, we can also see that spiritual master is a representative. In one line, he is a representative of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Because Nityananda Prabhu is Adiguru or Lord Balaram. And also we can see he is the representative of Srimati Radharani. Because ultimately the spiritual master is assisting Radha and Krishna in their tasteful pastimes. So in all respects, we can see the spiritual master is representing the process of servitorship through Srimati Radharani or through Lord Nityananda. Now, interestingly, this verse in the 11th canto is presented in connection to a brahmachari. How a brahmachari should see the spiritual master. However, this is applicable in all contexts, irrespective of all the ashrams. And it is widely quoted, right? In the same way, there is another verse in the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam also, that also shows the intimate connection of a disciple with the spiritual master. However, it is given in respect to brahmacharya ashram. However, it is applicable in all the ashram. Brahmachari gurukule vasantantam gurorhidam. That verse. The last line is guru sudridha sauhrida. One need that suhrida, that sauhrida, one need an intimate relationship with the spiritual master. So to make advancement in bhakti, one need intimacy with the spiritual master. So this is one can think, what is this intimacy with the spiritual master or deep friendship, sudritha sahurda, deep friendship? What is that? It's not just, you know, we'll have a mateship, you know, he's my mate, you know, we'll pat on the shoulder. No, not in that sense, but what is that intimate relationship of a disciple with the spiritual master? That is based on alignment of a disciple's desire to that of the spiritual masters. So when the spiritual master's desire and disciple desire, they are aligned, they are one and the same, then that relationship is called intimate. That is intimate relationship. And to make advancement in bhakti, to go further in bhakti, we need that. It means we need to know what is the desire of the spiritual master, and we need to execute devotional service in such a way that we are pleasing the spiritual master. So this is the intimate connection of the spiritual master and the disciple. So the role of a guru is to attract jivas. They attract jivas by their prachar and their achar. Both by achar and prachar, they try to attract. They try to captivate the minds of the living entities. Can we see that? We can see Srila Prabhupada's example. We can see the example of different spiritual masters within ISKCON. By their behavior and by their preaching, they can captivate our hearts. Isn't it right? They act in such a way that a disciple, or not a disciple, we get attracted to them. So this is the duty of the spiritual master. So that there can be an intimate relationship, and through that medium of intimate relationship, a disciple can follow very nicely the instruction of the spiritual master, and that spiritual master is representing the whole parampara and the desire of Krishna. So this is parampara. So that's where the intimacy becomes very important. In fact, it is, and sometimes we can see in our parampara that even before our parampara, in one sense, if you see Srimad Bhagavatam, if you see the conversation between Maitreya and Vidura, Maitreya is acting as the spiritual master and Vidura is the disciple, right? However, even though there is an intimate relationship between the guru and the disciple, there is no formal initiation, right?
We cannot see there was an yagya, there was a bead given. No, it is not there. But the connection is through shiksha. Still the connection is very intimate. So that is the Bhagavad Vidhi. In Bhagavad Vidhi, the relationship between the disciple and the spiritual master is not formalized by a sacrifice or a name-giving ceremony. However, in the Pancharatra Vidhi, it is there. So that's why in the Bhagavatam examples, even we can see Krishna and Arjun. We cannot see that there is a formal initiation. However, there is a complete surrender. Even though there is not a name-giving ceremony, there is no bead exchange, still, there is a complete surrender we can see, right? Shishya sneham shadhimam tvam prapannam. And we can see he fought the whole battle. He did everything for Krishna, right? Throughout his life. So, this is Bhagavad Vidhi, where there may not be any formal initiation, but there is initiation in the heart. One time, my spiritual master made a point that one may get initiated before the initiation, before the actual ceremony. Or one may get initiated at the time of the ceremony of initiation. Or one may get initiated after the ceremony, maybe after many years, one may actually get initiated. Or one may never get initiated, even though he may be initiated by the ceremony, by the name and by the beads. So this is the reality. So we need to be initiated in the heart. So that is the real Sudrita Sahurda. So that is, it's not just recommended, it is mandatory for our spiritual progress. Without that, we won't make progress. If we have a spiritual master, because everyone else has a spiritual master, that is insufficient for tangible advancement in bhakti. So Krishna is not really impressed, even we have an initiation ceremony, which is very important, because that is formalizing and it's making us to understand there is something very important has taken place. So Krishna is not very much impressed by the wood that is thrown into the sacrificial fire. But he is impressed with the commitment. He is impressed with the vow. At least this jiva is taking a vow in front of the deities, in front of the fire, in front of the spiritual master, in front of the assembled Vaishnavas, and practically in front of the whole parampara, that I am going to chant 16 rounds every day and I am going to follow four regulative principles from now onwards. So there is a commitment. So Krishna is impressed with the commitment. And that is a commitment that we need to keep up and do more than that. So if one says that, okay, I don't need actually Diksha, so can we expect such kind of a commitment to an advanced devotee? In rare cases it is possible. We can see Vidura and Maitreya, we can see Arjuna and Krishna. There may not be any formal initiation, but still we can see such a commitment. But for us, there are devotees who may have gone through the whole initiation process, first initiation, second initiation, everything. Still, after some time, they say bye-bye to their spiritual master. It's a reality. They walk away. They walk away even after showing the whole thing. Still, they walk away from the spiritual master. So that is the kind of commitment that we have in the age of Kali Yuga. So if we don't have a formal commitment, then what is our hope? Really speaking, what is our hope? There is no hope. See, Srila Prabhupada and his commitment to his spiritual master. How many times did he see his spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur? Only a few times. How many times did he get personal instruction from his spiritual master? A few times. And what he did with those instructions. And Srila Prabhupada was initiated right at the first meeting with the spiritual master, right? When Srila Prabhupada met his spiritual master for the first time, he understood, he is my spiritual master.
1922.
And he got initiated after 11 years, the formal initiation. So we can see initiation happening even before the formal initiation. But thus initiations are serious. They committed. And Srila Prabhupada and many of Srila Prabhupada's disciples, they had such commitment. They were ready to do anything to please Srila Prabhupada. And of course, there are many who didn't also. It's not that everyone was committed. No, some of them didn't. Bhanu Maharaj was here and he's coming back in 2 days. You know the pastime when Srila Prabhupada along with his devotees, his disciples were traveling in India in train. And when the train reached Delhi, Srila Prabhupada asked, Gurudas Prabhu, Yamuna Mataji and Bhanu Maharaj, then a brahmachari, Bhanudas Brahmachari, asked them, okay, you get off here, get out from the train now, and open a temple. How is that? This is commitment, really, right? You know, now if someone asks you, okay, get off here, okay, while traveling, and get off here and open a temple, or distribute some books, even we get shaken by that. What speak about, you know, open a temple? So this is the reality. This is the commitment. The pastime of our Gaur Govinda Maharaj. Gaur Govinda Maharaj accepted sannyas from Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada instructed Gaur Govinda Maharaj, you go to Bhuvaneshwar and open a temple. So Gaur Govinda Maharaj asked Srila Prabhupada, I need some money. When Gaur Govinda Maharaj asked Srila Prabhupada, I need some money, Prabhupada became so angry. He chastised, don't you have faith in Krishna that Krishna will provide everything? You are asking me money and people. You just go. And Gaur Govinda Maharaj had to leave. This is commitment. And where was he staying? He was staying in a hut. He was just staying in a hut for a long period in time. That when you go to Bhuvaneshwar, you can visit the temple. It's a beautiful temple, magnificent temple, you know, on a hill. It's very beautiful near the highway. Now, that part was like a jungle before. People who are, you know, up class wouldn't visit that place. And there in a hut, Gaur Govinda Maharaj was staying and he was preaching. And eventually, a temple came up. So this is commitment. Can you see? So this is the commitment that is demanded from the parampara. We need to be committed. So when we see that, if you think, okay, we don't need a diksha, for example, we can see, we can question what kind of commitment can be expected from a Kaliyuga citizen, even though it is not mandatory from a technical point of view, but we need commitment. So this is what is demanded. Now, in this verse, that's why it's mentioned, we need to be so much thankful, so much of respect has to be given to Acharya and the spiritual masters. So we have a process. We take shelter of a spiritual master, we take diksha of the spiritual master, and in that way, a spiritual master actually instructs us how to make progress in spiritual master. And sometimes, some devotees get to a wrong mentality. They think that there is no qualified spiritual master in ISKCON. There is no one is qualified to initiate me. Yeah, it's a fact. That is another misunderstanding. There is no qualified spiritual master in ISKCON who is qualified to initiate me. So I am not accepting the initiation.
What an ego.
It's a reality. Think about this. So this what kind of commitment is expected from us to make advancement? And what is our mentality? Then do you think one is going to take association or intimate association or follow the instruction so intimately any advanced Vaishnava within ISKCON? Think about that. If we think, our mentality is that nobody is qualified, are we going to take shiksha from anyone or serve anyone? No. Forget diksha. Shiksha is also not going to happen because the faith is already shaken. So one need to be very careful with our mentality.
He told Kamakrishna Goswami, go to China.
Go to China, that's right. Go to China.
More shocking.
More shocking, yeah, it is. First time Kamakrishna Maharaj went and he had to study the situation there. Then Maharaj went again with full force and then made a lot of devotees. And then it is still continuing. So even Prabhupada traveled and preached around the world. He went to Russia. Who was there in Russia? Anyone was there? He met only two people. One Indian boy and one Russian boy. And the Russian boy took it so seriously. And he preached and created the whole Russian yatra, which is the biggest yatra outside of India. It is the biggest yatra outside of India. So this is commitment, you know. We can be amazed, we can be inspired to see such commitment of a disciple to their guru. So at least we need to be ready to serve in our humble capacity. We shouldn't think, you know, we have achieved everything. Everything is done. Work is done now. It's the rest time. But no, we have to do to our best ability. So that's why, yasya prasadat bhagavat prasado. If you don't have that connection, then what's the question of pleasing the spiritual master and through pleasing Krishna? It's not possible.
Now, what is the meaning of giving utmost respect to the spiritual master? Mahatam bahumanena. The first line of the verse itself is Mahatam bahumanena. Giving utmost respect to the spiritual master. What is the meaning of giving utmost respect to the spiritual master? The utmost respect for the spiritual master is when we are actually following the instruction. That is the utmost respect. Guru Puja is there, which is important, and it is institutionalized to show the importance of Srila Prabhupada and to show the importance of worship of the spiritual master. But at the same time, the real worship of the spiritual master is by following the instruction of the spiritual master. That's why one time Srila Prabhupada was in Mayapur, and Srila Prabhupada didn't visit that Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaja's Samadhi area. So he didn't visit and he didn't participate in a festival for Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Then Srila Prabhupada's disciples, they criticized, Srila Prabhupada's god brothers criticized Srila Prabhupada. Why he is not coming to pay respect to Bhaktisiddhanta? Why he is acting as a separatist? Why is he deviant? And when Prabhupada heard about this, it is said he actually pounded on the desk. He pounded on the desk and said, I am never separated from my spiritual master. I am always worshipping my spiritual master. So this is the consciousness of a pure devotee. Always worshipping the spiritual master. It's not just for the puja. We are asked to do this because at least then we will do puja. At least then we think. Even while going on the Guru Puja, mind is somewhere else. Thinking about so many things. Think about who is dancing, who is not dancing. Maybe how the kids are dancing. I don't know what. But many things are going on. But the point is, at least at Guru Puja, pay respect to Srila Prabhupada. So this is the minimum necessity. So that's why there is Guru Puja. If you ask why it is institutionalized, to show the importance, because we are heavily conditioned. That's the reality. So now, this is the kind of, and another very important point, because many times, we are very eager to meet gurus, advanced Vaishnavas, spiritual masters, sannyasis, whoever. And we go and we ask questions. Many times we want to ask personal questions. So we get our lot, we go there, we ask some questions. But after hearing the answer, we don't want to follow that. So it is actually an offensive mentality if you are going and approaching a senior Vaishnava and asking a question and not to follow. If you don't have the intention to follow the instruction, then don't go and ask an advanced devotee a question. Okay, philosophical question, okay. One can ask in a class, that's all right. But if you are asking a question, which is a practical question, and if you want an answer to that, and if you don't want to follow, then don't ask. It's an offensive mentality. Don't try to ask 10 devotees to get the suitable answer for my mind. Ask an advanced devotee who you have trust and faith, and get the answer and try to follow and see the result. Don't look for the answer. Don't try to justify, don't try to rubber stamp our answer which is there in our mind or what we want to follow already. So one has to be very careful. This is how we are respecting the spiritual masters, advanced Vaishnavas, by following their instruction. And without that, it is more superfluous. We can, you know, we do respect in a physical format, but if we don't follow, then it is superfluous. It is not really coming from the heart. So we need to be quite mindful about this point. Now, ISKCON here, a very beautiful presentation is about the association of the devotees and parampara. So ISKCON, if you see as a society, we can see ISKCON is a society where we can see parampara in action on one side. Second, we can also see that this is a society in which we can see a spectrum of devotees who are in various stages of devotional service, who are acting as different examples of different stages of devotional service. So in one side, we can see the parampara which is flowing from Srila Prabhupada to the disciples to further. We can see parampara in action. And on the other side, we can see a gradual progression of devotees. So if you look into devotees, we can see there are devotees who are equal to us, means really, really equal, pretty much similar consciousness. We can see devotees who are just one step ahead of us. We can see, it's natural to see, yeah, this devotee is a little bit advanced than me. And you can see devotees who are far advanced than us. Similarly, we can see devotees who are a bit less advanced than us, and who we can see who are very, very far away from us in terms of advancement. So a devotee, he can see a spectrum of devotees. And this is the beauty, this is the very important aspect of ISKCON as a society, because we have practical demonstration of devotional service in its various levels. So we can get inspired, in which we can say people who are equal and who are a little bit advanced than us or a bit less advanced than us, they all form the same category. And that category is very important for us, for our advancement. The reason is, if you see a devotee who is a bit advanced than us, it is very easy for us to follow in those footsteps and to get to that level. Because, for example, if somebody is chanting in a very advanced stage with a lot of emotions, we cannot really imitate that. It becomes just an imitation. It becomes just a mockery. There's no purpose. But if you see a devotee, we are struggling to sit at one place in the morning and chant, our mind is completely agitated. And if you see a devotee, he's sitting at one place and chanting, then we can see, okay, at least I can, he's a devotee, he's with me, you know. I can see him chanting nicely, at least he's trying to sit at one place and chant his rounds. Okay, let me follow him. We can see some measurable steps and we can quantify, okay, if I do this, I'll get this. It becomes much easier for us to see, okay, we can make this advancement by following this step. And associating with advanced devotees, we can actually see, we can get inspired to follow in their footsteps. So we have all different kinds of association available in ISKCON as a society. And this association is the essential element for progress. So sometimes the association can be a little bit rough, even though the association is meant to be always smooth, but there can be rough edges. Just like a polisher, if there are many stones in a polishing machine, as it rotates, the rough edges get smoothened. In the same way, in devotee association, because of our neophyte mentality, there can be rough interactions a little bit here and there. We have to tolerate so that we get smoothened in our consciousness. And in that way, we can make progress. So, for a devotee in Madhyama stage, when one comes to the Madhyama stage, he starts seeing actually devotees. Okay, there are different grades of devotees who to take association from. And in the purport says, if he is not of a good character, even if he is a devotee, we have to pay respect but keep a distance. It's an instruction of Srila Prabhupada. It's not that we can associate with everyone equally in all devotees. No, we cannot do that. We have to see if a devotee's character is not good, respect but keep a distance. That's very important for our advancement. So this is part of bhakti, this is part of association. Whom to associate and how to associate. So association is an art. And if we had difficulty in association with the devotees, we had to pray to Krishna. We had to pray to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, Srila Prabhupada to reveal the art of association with the devotees so that we can make progress. We can feel happy in the association. We can feel sheltered in the association of the devotees. And another important point that is mentioned here is about preaching, because a devotee, he has to give mercy to Dinanam Anukampaya. Dinanam Anukampaya, Prabhupada makes it very clear. It is not that Dinanam doesn't mean who is poverty stricken. Everyone is poor in terms of Krishna consciousness. As Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj said, there is no scarcity for anything in this material world but for Krishna consciousness. If you see any problem, there is only one problem, there is lack of Krishna consciousness. So we had to train our eyes to see Dinanam in the point of vision of the devotion, that is, who doesn't have Krishna consciousness. And we had to see that in ourselves also, what we are lacking, we are also lacking pure Krishna consciousness. So we can see this point, and that helps us to engage ourselves in the preaching work. So as Srila Prabhupada said, the whole idea of ISKCON is preaching. Like Prabhupada gave the example of Indian Railway. You know the example of Indian Railway, right? It's a very interesting example, because Indian Railway, the whole purpose of Indian Railway is that
the train compartments are moving from point A to point B. So the wheels are rotating. He said the whole purpose of the Indian Railway is that the wheels rotate on the tracks. That's the whole purpose. So he said there is a railway ministry, there is a railway minister, there is staff, there is, you know, I don't know, a huge employment agency is Indian Railway. So everything is there. The whole purpose is that the wheel rotates on the track. Prabhupada said in the same way, in ISKCON, we have so many things. We have so many projects. We have deity worship. We have personal sadhana. We have so many things. But the ultimate purpose is so that we can give this gift to others. So it's a very nice example given by Srila Prabhupada. So we had to see that we had to plug into something, some preaching aspect. So we spend some time in helping others in terms of the Krishna consciousness. So yeah, I really like one example Vijay Prabhu gave in terms of book distribution. He said, actually, devotional service is absolute in all respects. If you take any devotional service, everything is absolute. They are all on equal platform. Correct? All the devotional service, everything is for Krishna, they are absolute. But Prabhu gave an example. If you go to kitchen and if you want to cut a potato, if you take a knife and you cut the potato, everyone has done. But how many times have you prayed, Krishna, kindly be merciful, so that with this knife, I can cut this potato into half. Mm-hmm. No, we haven't. I don't know. Some people may. But generally, we don't. If you cook up a feast, maybe pray to Krishna. But if you cut a potato, we don't really think so seriously about this act. Even though it is a devotional service, this requires complete mercy of the Lord. Still, we don't think in that way. And Prabhu says, okay, take a small book and go to Swanson Street. You will start praying to Krishna. So this is the difference. Even though the devotional service is all on equal platform, but some services demand some surrender. We tend to pray more because Krishna will put in such a situation that we had to pray. We don't have any help. And if we get puffed up, if we feel proud, then Krishna smashes. Especially Krishna can smash in whatever we do. It doesn't matter deity worship or cooking, Krishna can smash our ego anytime. But if we are proud and try to preach, we get smashed very easily. One devotee was telling me, he was distributing books in Melbourne and he was feeling very puffed up. Oh, so many hard Bhagavad Gita's were going. You know, he was feeling so nice internally. And suddenly one person came, he took that hard Bhagavad Gita. It's really hard, you know, hard Bhagavad Gita, how it is, like hard cover, I mean, it is really hard, right? He took the Bhagavad Gita and he gave one on the cheek, okay? One tight slap. Okay, so then he came to the reality. Yeah, I am not the master. I am not the real distributor, you know. It's like another story. One devotee said to a sannyasi that I am so expert in book distribution that I can give Prabhupada's books to anyone. How is that? How is that ego? I can give to anyone. I am such an expert. So this sannyasi told this devotee, okay, let's see. You now go and distribute for 2 hours and come back. He went. He tried his best. He spent half day, you know, all the tricks, all the mantras, all the actions, everything. He couldn't distribute even one book. Not even one book. And he had to come back. And he told the sannyasi, yes, I admit, I am not the controller. Krishna is in charge. So this is the reality. So Krishna is in charge. So we are simply acting as an instrument. So our aim is to please Krishna. It's not to impress anyone. This is the point. In preaching, our aim is not to impress people. It is to impress or please Krishna or impress Krishna in one sense. Mahaprabhu danced in front of Lord Jagannath. Not to impress anyone, but he was impressed by Lord Jagannath. This is the consciousness. One glorifies Krishna because one's heart is touched by the beauty and qualities of Krishna. Not to show everyone else. So that is devotional service. So one is serving nicely Krishna because one is attracted to Krishna. Not to show anyone else. So this is the mentality that we need to cultivate and that is essential in all aspects and especially in preaching. In one sense, everything is preaching because everything is meant to attract
the conditioned souls, everything. Deity worship, everything is to attract the conditioned souls so that they feel connected to the Supreme Lord. So that is the purpose. Now, here there is a very important term again mentioned about the association. There it is mentioned sajatiya. Prabhupada uses the word sajatiya. Associating with like-minded devotees. So why do we need different angas of bhakti? And especially in the panjanga bhakti, in the five important elements of bhakti. Even though chanting is the process of deliverance, the primary process of deliverance is chanting, we need the help of other processes. That's why Bhagavad Vithi and the Pancharatra Vithi go hand in hand, just like a train track. Bhagavad Gita is hearing about Krishna, glorifying, chanting, that goes in one side, and the Pancharatra Vithi, that is deity worship, both go hand in hand because our mind is disturbed. Prabhupada said, if you want to fix our mind, if you want to steady our mind, what to do? Start worshipping the deity. If you want to meditate on Krishna, what do we have to do? Last lecture, I think I spoke on Smaranam. How we can develop Smaranam? Start worshipping the deity. Then Smaranam can develop. Because natural process of thinking about Krishna is when we hear and when we fix in service of the deity, then the natural process is Smaranam. So hearing and chanting will lead to remembrance. Smaranam, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnoho, Smaranam. So Smaranam is very important in Krishna consciousness. So in regard to association of the devotees, in Bhaktirasamrita, to elaborate this point, Adha Sa Jatiyasya Snikta Shri Bhagavad Bhakta Sangha. It's a very important point, and the translation is very important. So here, Sa Jatiya, it's mentioned. So Jati, what is the Jati of the devotees? We are devotees, that is the Jati. There is no further Jati, there is no further caste. It is condemned. Vaishnave Jati Buddhi. If one tells, you know, I am a Kshatriya Vaishnava, I am a Brahmana Vaishnava, I am a Shudra Vaishnava, or if I classify devotees according to the service they are doing, you know, he is a Shudra devotee, he is a Vaishya devotee, it is an offense. So there is no caste amongst the Vaishnavas, only one jati, that is the devotee, that's it. Now, Rupa Goswami explained, Sa jati yasya snigdha Shri Bhagavad Bhakta Sangho. Here, snigdha, the word snigdha is very important. What is the meaning of snigdha? But Rupa Goswami doesn't just say, okay, you associate with the like-minded devotees. Yes, we have to associate with the like-minded devotees. We need encouragement in our services. If devotees don't encourage in our services, if say something else totally different, then we get discouraged. I need some association who can understand what I want to do for Krishna. So definitely, we need association of sajatiyasya, who has like-mindedness. And at the same time, Rupa Goswami uses the word snigdha. Snigdha means affectionate. So the dealing between the devotees has to be affectionate. There is no point even just harsh dealings amongst devotees. We need affectionate dealing among devotees. It's an item of bhakti. That's why it is mentioned snigdha. Sajadiyasya snigdha bhagavad bhakta sangha. So it is, that is the association that we need. And Melbourne is a good example for that. Right? We have affectionate devotees. We can see among the grihasthas, we can see affectionate dealings. Among the brahmacharis, we can see affectionate dealings. Among the grihasthas and brahmacharis, we can see affectionate dealings. That's what we need. Without that affectionate dealings, it is not possible to have a proper association. It doesn't mean we will never get corrected. We will get corrected. We may get chastised. But that is all part of the affectionate dealings. So in that way, we can stay in ISKCON. With that affectionate dealings, we can stay in ISKCON. We can make progress. And we can fulfill the mission of Srila Prabhupada. And one of the primary instructions of Srila Prabhupada is never leave ISKCON. Yes? Never leave ISKCON. It's an instruction of Srila Prabhupada. If we want to follow that, then we need such association of the devotees. So, in conclusion, in this purport, Srila Prabhupada speaks about the importance of Acharyopasanam, taking shelter of a spiritual master, and we discussed how important it is to take shelter of a spiritual master, and the highest worship of the spiritual master is following his instruction, the importance of preaching and association of the devotees. So I stop here and see if there are any questions or comments.
one comment.
Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you very much for a very nice analysis of chapter 2 of Avita Special and the instruction of spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada was always remembering spiritual master throughout the journey, the ship, and when he reached Boston, he was doing all the time. And a session with the, he gave a session to such low grade people, and always remembered spiritual master. And he praised him. Whomever came to the movement, that it is because of my spiritual master that you are here.
Yes.
So, same thing he did preaching all over. He, for example, Jayananda asked Jai Bhattaka Swami to put name in
yes.
the card and how we became it. So, I remember so many examples that I will give you lecture.
Thank you.
So, thank you.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Yes, Prabhu.
Can we say all spiritual masters have same intention, same goal, same mission?
All the spiritual masters within ISKCON, they carry forward the mission of Srila Prabhupada. So in that way, all the spiritual masters have the same mission as that of Srila Prabhupada. There can be varieties in one sense, because different spiritual masters may focus on different aspects that Srila Prabhupada has emphasized. Prabhupada has emphasized everything, naturally speaking. He has emphasized everything, all aspects of devotional service. Prabhupada has said everything is important, many items of devotional service. This is important, that is important, everything is important. He has emphasized many items of devotional service, practically all items of devotional service. And different spiritual masters may give emphasis on different aspects of devotional service. But still, that is following Srila Prabhupada. Okay. Thank you. Yes, Madhuri.
I want to clarify what the question was.
What is it?
I want to clarify when you asked the question, what was the purpose of this question? Why was he asking that? Was it in having you choose a spiritual master in that sense? Like, are they all equal? Can we just choose anyone? What was the purpose of the question?
My purpose was to know the goal. Like, the goal is same. Like, the destination is same for everyone. So, basically, is everybody equal for the same thing? And that's,
He's in a level, he's understanding, the philosophically understanding what the situation is, not in terms of choosing. Yes, Prabhu.
Prabhu, you mentioned that the desire of the disciple and spiritual master should be aligned.
Yes.
So, when you're thinking about taking shelter, and it's very hard to associate with spiritual master all the time, how can you know, like, how can you know the desire of your spiritual master?
Yeah, the question is, we mentioned that a disciple has to align his desires with that of the spiritual masters. So, before initiation, how can one know or how can one associate with the spiritual master? It can be hard. One can associate with the spiritual master through vani, through the instructions. You can hear from the spiritual master, and in that way one can associate. Not necessary that you had to be close to him physically. In fact, it is mentioned in Hari Bhakti Vilas that a disciple has 1 year to test the spiritual master, and the spiritual master can test the disciple. 1 year one can test each other. And after that, one can mutually they can go well together, then one can formalize that relationship. So one can take one's time in hearing from the spiritual master. And if there are many spiritual masters here, one can go meet them. One can even meet the spiritual master. One cannot be with them all the time. But one can meet them, one can discuss, one can take some instruction, one can follow the instruction, how it fits into one's life. So there are many means one can see. Make sense? Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much. Granthashimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki.